So John is going to read today's Bible reading for us.
The reading is Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region.
Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word that brings light and life into our lives. And I just ask that you would guide my words now, that we may understand more of what your word means for us today. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this is a very strange story that we've seen enacted via the puppets and we've just heard read for us. Yet it's a very important story that concludes Matthew 8. Throughout Matthew 8, we've seen mighty demonstrations of the authority and power of Jesus in different ways. And it seems to me that this story kind of clinches it all at the end. See, first of all, we saw Jesus show his authority over sickness when he healed the man with leprosy and the centurion's servant, Peter's mother-in-law, and finally a whole crowd of people who came to Jesus after evening had fallen. And then, of course, we saw Jesus demonstrate his power and authority over the natural world as he calmed the storm on the lake at that moment when his disciples feared that they would drown. And that story ends with the disciples asking one another, "What kind of man is this?" And I think that Matthew intends us to carry that question in our minds as we read this story. For now, Jesus comes to demonstrate his authority and power over demons and or evil spirits when he sets free these two men who've been possessed, who've been controlled by forces that have enslaved them and reduced them to being barely human. Authority over sickness, authority over natural forces, and authority over the powers of evil. What kind of man is this? And what does it mean to be a follower, a disciple of this man, this Jesus? Now, the first of these two questions, what kind of man is this, is actually answered very clearly in this story, as we shall see. But it's the other question. What does this story teach us about being disciples of Jesus that I want us particularly to explore? And the first thing is, as we were thinking about earlier on in the service, is that disciples of Jesus often find themselves outside their comfort zone. Just think what the disciples of Jesus had just been through. They'd gone in a boat with Jesus and a storm had blown up on the lake that was so severe they'd been in danger of their life. It had been an utterly terrifying experience. And if I'd have been one of them, I'd have been needing some downtime. I'd have been needing a recovery period for my shattered nerves and my overworked and turbulent mind. And is that what they got? No. Instead, they find themselves in the region of the Gadarenes, a Gentile, non-Jewish, foreign part of the world. It wasn't somewhere where they could feel comfortable and feel particularly able to relax and be at ease. And then, just after experiencing this storm at sea, they now encounter two men coming towards them who were clearly experiencing internal storms, or hurricanes more like. And Matthew says this of them in verse 28. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him, and they were so violent that no one could pass that way. And I can just imagine those disciples saying to one another, oh no, this is the last thing we need. Now, even though Jesus is going to deal with this problem, it is actually another personal challenge that the disciples have to face in their apprenticeship with Jesus. In this moment, they are taken completely out of their comfort zone. And Jesus will keep on taking us, his disciples today, out of our comfort zone, because that's a way in which we change, mature and grow. When Viv, my wife, was training to become a Methodist minister, she was sent on a placement into the middle of Nottingham, where she had to join a team that worked with prostitutes who would come into their building off the streets for help and advice. Talk about being in a world that she knew nothing of and totally out of her comfort zone, yet it was a real growing and learning experience for her. And I remember for me once taking a carload of people from a church to a rally in Sheffield led by a man called Gerald Coates, the founder of the Pioneer Network of Churches. It was a great event, and at the end Gerald Coates gave an appeal. Well, loads of people went forward for prayer, far more than the leaders were prepared for, and there just weren't enough people to pray. So the appeal went out for other church leaders to go out and help. Well, I decided to sit there. I wasn't a church leader at the time. I was just the organiser of a carload. And then one of the people I brought along kind of thumped me in the back and hissed, "Get out there!" And before I knew it, I was doing something I'd not done before. And Jesus will keep on taking us into unexpected and challenging situations because he wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to grow in our understanding of the deep needs of people in our world, and to grow in our love and in our compassion. So disciples of Jesus will often find themselves actually outside their comfort zone. The second thing is that disciples of Jesus will recognise and will encounter evil. It's ironic that it is the demons within the two men who answer the question that the disciples had asked earlier. What kind of man is this? They recognise clearly who Jesus is in verse 29. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? You see, they know that they're in the presence of a superior power. The powers of evil know that in the presence of the sheer holiness of Jesus, the Holy One, in whom the fullness of God dwells in human form, they stand no chance of survival. It may be helpful for us just to think for a moment about these demons or evil spirits or evil powers. Do they exist? In our scientific culture, can we accept their reality? Well, I think there's a balance to be struck. There are people who say they've been delivered from demon possession and that their lives are now transformed. And I think it's important to listen to them and not to dismiss it lightly. On the other hand, it's important not to attribute to evil spirits straightforward physical or mental ailments. We must never seek a solution to every problem by looking for evil powers at work. But I would not dismiss the idea of demonic action in our world. And I think it helps if we see the evil spirits in this story as representing all kinds of evil human actions and behaviours. And although many people behave irrationally or wrongly in ways that can be explained either by medicine or psychology, sometimes the degree of evil that we see in our world that is displayed or results from a certain behaviour can, I think, only be explained by pointing to the work of evil powers in our world. How else can we adequately explain, for example, something like the horrors of the Holocaust or ethnic cleansing, or even some of the actions we've seen recently in places like Syria or Yemen? The New Testament scholar Donald English said that we need to guard against the danger that the greatest achievement of the powers of evil would be to persuade us that they do not exist. Disciples of Jesus have to recognise and encounter evil. But finally, the disciples of Jesus can pray and act with his authority. In what may seem to be to us the totally bizarre episode of Jesus sending the demons out of the possessed men and into the herd of pigs, which then ran down a steep bank into the lake and were drowned, the important thing to notice is the sheer commanding authority of Jesus. Verses 31 and 32, the demons beg Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." And so they came out. The demons do not stand a chance, and they know it. The authority of Jesus is paramount. He's in total control of the situation. He says, "Go," and they've gone. Now, Jesus' battle with the powers of evil, whether that evil is seen in the manifestation of evil spirits in individual lives like we've read today, or whether that evil is encountered in the wielding of earthly power by the religious leaders of his day or the Roman occupiers of his land, because they all felt threatened by Jesus and his sheer godliness and holiness, Jesus fights this battle throughout his earthly life, and it culminates in the cross. It reaches its climax when Jesus lays down his life freely and willingly for the sins of the world and for you and for me. And the cross looks like a place of defeat. But we know it isn't. It's the place of victory. It's the place where, according to Colossians 2:15, Jesus disarms the authorities and powers and triumphs over them once and for all. He is the head over every power and authority. The resurrection of Jesus declares victory over the powers of evil, sin and death. And at the end of Matthew's Gospel, after his death and resurrection, Jesus says to his followers, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." In other words, disciples of Jesus today can act with his authority in the world. Our prayers, our actions, and our words can bear the stamp, the mark of Jesus. Viv and I occasionally watch Bargain Hunt, where pairs of contestants are helped by experts to choose antiques and collectibles to sell at auction, hopefully for a bit of a profit. And if they see a piece of silver, the question always arises, is it hallmarked? And that hallmark will prove it's genuine. And those who've given their lives to Christ, we're stamped, we are hallmarked, with a hallmark that says we are genuine new creations of Jesus who carry his authority into the world. The two demon-possessed men were prisoners whom Jesus set free. And we have the authority to be agents of God's power today to bring freedom to those in all kinds of captivity, especially through our prayers. So, disciples of Jesus often find themselves outside their comfort zones. They will recognise and encounter evil, but we can pray and act with the authority of Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that sometimes you take us beyond what we are used to, so that we can grow in faith. Help us to trust you in those moments. Help us also to recognise wrong when we see it, and evil when it rears its head. And help us to work and speak and pray with your authority to bring freedom to those who may be trapped by so many things. Practical things like debt or poverty or modern slavery or abuse or racist attitudes. Or people who may be trapped by fear or physical or mental ill health. Or who may be literally imprisoned because of their faith in you or in human rights. Lord, in your infinite goodness and by the power of our prayers, may your light shine into their lives and may their chains be shattered. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.